If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sports book you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or even try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy. That's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using the promo code TOOLSHED and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code TOOLSHED for free cash bonus to kickstart your journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the fact that baseball season is in full swing, there's never been a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship.
The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 134 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have another fun episode in store today, and with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how was it seeing Robinson Cano the other day?
It was bizarre, but he led the team in hits, which was
interesting. Didn't I tell you last time, you're like, the ring, great, Fried versus, was it Fried versus Max?
Yeah,
but then, you know, Robinson Cano stealing the show, baby.
Yeah. I think he had a hit in his first at bat, then he had another single at the end of the game. He turned a double play. Weird, but
hey, I mean, maybe he wasn't like incentivized to play against his former team, but it was a loss on Monday when we were there, but it's all good. So, you know, we play the Nats before the All-Star break. So, you know, keep it within a game or two and of the Mets and, you know, do your thing in the second half. So, good series overall. It's a fun game. The ring was kind of cool. So, yeah, it's a good time. Freed didn't pitch that well, but Scherzer definitely didn't disappoint.
Yeah, that wasn't that Freed's first like five walk outing in like forever.
Yeah, he had been really good this year from that standpoint, and he just walk machine. He was getting squeezed a little bit, at least from my angle. Like it was a lot of pitches that were called balls I thought were good pitches, but yeah, I would have to obviously go back and look at Savant, but I don't know. But it's what it is. It's still a good time.
Yeah, I'd be really happy if I was a Braves fan right now. Like I feel really good about your chances. Like later, like the Mets are obviously very talented, but this feels like it's about to fall apart. Like there's like the floor for the Mets is much lower than the Braves. I feel,
you know, their lineups, I don't think it's like all that good. You know, I mean, when Marte back in, at least it improves. But the lineup the other night was just like pretty underwhelming in my opinion. I mean, so today they ran out Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, and then you have May hitting cleanup and Canna, Dom Smith, Eduardo Escobar. And then Jankowski, and I don't know, just to me, it's like not that the rotation is obviously really good and it's going to be even better when you get DeGrom back, but the lineup has some weaknesses. So I could see it, you know, I mean, they were 10.5 up on the Braves at one point, and it's really, like you said, come off to an extent, and I'd put the Braves lineup against them all day, maybe give the Mets rotation an edge, but they can't stay healthy either. So
exactly. It'll be interesting. You guys have so much depth in that. Yeah, you maybe obviously the top end. You can't go against DeGrom and Scherzer, but like Freed, Strider was the one I'm forgetting here. Kyle Wright, and then Morton. Like that's a damn good one. Then you just got Ian Anderson chilling at number five. Like that's a damn good 1-4 for a 7-game series. And you throw out, you know, those guys at all 7 games, you guys got a chance to beat anybody. So I'd be very happy that Scherzer, DeGrom, great. But again, I feel like they're always like one start away from going back on the ice, especially DeGrom. Even Scherzer nowadays, like he's a lot more dinged up than he used to be. Obviously, he's nearing 40 now. But man, but we're not going to break down the Braves versus the Mets in this episode. But we do have a lot of fun topics to talk about today. But before we get into all that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. And our show's at Fantrax Toolshed, of course. If you enjoy this podcast, please write an review. Check out our Patreon for extra content from both of us and our YouTube channel. And, of course, check out all the other great work we have going on from the entire team over at Fantrax HQ. A lot of good stuff. Obviously, we're still pumping out all the fantasy baseball content, both written and audio. SB Streamer podcast, obviously, is a great podcast to check out as well. And fantasy football is ramping up. It's the month of July. Of course, football season's right around the corner. So check out that fantasy football draft kit over at FantraxHQ.com. And our new podcast called The Fly with Colin McTominay, Kai Haskins, and Ben Lear. Great podcast. Those guys are very passionate. A lot of good ideas. I've been working with them to get that podcast going. They've had a few episodes out now, so go check them out as well. But let's get right into it today. Got a good mix of MLB guys to talk about, some prospects, obviously. A lot of interesting prospect stand-ups over the last month or so. Let's start with Mr. Chris Sale, who looked pretty damn good in his debut the other night against Tampa Bay. Won 5 shutout innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. This after only 9 starts last year. Obviously didn't pitch at all in the shortened 2020 season. And had a really lackluster 2019 when he made 25 starts, 4.40 ERA, and a 1.09 whip. That's just, so he hasn't really been Chris Sale since 2018. The year we won the World Series when he was absolutely dominant, 2.11 ERA and 158 innings with 237 strikeouts, that following a 308 strikeout season. But like I said, we haven't had Chris Sale that we fell in love with for 4 years now. And he's only made now 10 starts combined over the last 3 seasons, or 2 1/3 if you count the shortened season. I don't know. Where are you valuing Chris Sale at this point, Chris? Like he's 33 years old. Obviously, on talent alone, he's probably top 15 or so, but factor in the age, just the durability that has not been there for the last half decade, really. Last time he pitched over 200 innings was in 2017, so 5 years ago. Where are you at? Do you still think he could be a top 100 guy, or are you kind of putting him more like, you know, 150, 200 range?
I think the durability is really the reason that holds him back from being top 100. The talent's there. I was encouraged by the velocity. I mean, he set average 95.1, which was really good. It's his highest velo since 2018 when he averaged 95.2 on it. I know it's just one start, so it'd be something to monitor, but that's at least encouraging to me. You know, the slider, you'd like to see it get a little more whiffs on it, but you know, we can live with it. I think that he'll be solid. And I just, part of me wonders, like, you know, the crap in the minor leagues, like, it's just obvious, like, he didn't want to be there. He's probably sick of rehab appearances and in the minor league. So, like,
so are we.
Right. So, probably frustration on his end. Yeah, you know, you mentioned the age, the durability. Like, for Dynasty, I'm worried about his value to an extent. Like, I could see going out and getting him on the cheap right now, though. I think if you're a contending team, like, he's a pitcher to go buy. I'd at least go see what it would cost to get him. And you know, even though he's a little older and there's durability concerns, I think when he pitches, I think he's going to be good. So I'm not worried about the performance as much as the age and durability issues.
Yeah, I'm there with you. And he needs to pitch well. Like, as a Red Sox fan, obviously fingers crossed that he does. We really need him to. But yeah, the velocity was very encouraging. Like you said, it was only one start, but 95.1 slider looked pretty solid. Like you said, the whiffs weren't there, but that's, you know, really, it's been several years since that's been like a huge whiff rate offering for him. 2019, it was 35.7%. 2021, it was 32%. He has been over 40% with that pitch since 2018, but obviously still a very good slider. Obviously a lot, you know, kind of a unicorn slider, I like to call it, because you don't see many 79 mile an hour sliders with that type of break. You've seen some sweepers, but usually they're a bit harder than that. But, you know, I'm definitely am encouraged. You mix in the changeup as well. He threw 15 of those, 19.2% usage rate on that, that's pretty much in line with where he's been at. Like last year, it was 19.8% usage rate on that changeup, albeit, you know, and only nine starts. But yeah, I think he can still be, you know, short term, top 25-ish arm the rest of the season, and long term, yeah, he's a great guy to go get. Like the guys like him and like Jose Abreu and these types that are still very good, but they're obviously like mid 30s now, don't have that same, you know, value as they used to because of their, you know, advanced age. And if you're contending, absolutely go out and get one of these guys. You know, like I said, Clayton Kershaw is another good example. There's those types that definitely have a lot of value to a contending team. So yeah, fingers crossed with Chris Sale. So far, so good in that first start. We'll see if he can keep it going. I made a joke to a buddy though that after I wasn't watching the game, but I was at another game, the Sea Dogs NCAA here to watch Randy Vasquez's start. And they had the Red Sox game out on the scoreboard, and we saw that, you know, I forget who it was, coughed up the lead, and we ended up losing 3-2. I was like, yeah, he's probably in the clubhouse right now, like demolishing something. He's so pissed that they coughed up his lead. He had a 2-0 lead when he left the game after five. And we end up losing. I think it was like Schreiber might have given it up. I can't remember. But yeah, so far so good with Chris Sale. Moving over some younger players here. A couple intriguing promotions over the last week. Most notably, Esteury Ruiz, who, man, like there's breakouts and then there's breakouts. And that's what Esteury Ruiz had this season. In 77 games, 374 plate appearances between AA and AAA. Combined slash 333, 467, 560, 23 doubles, 13 home runs, 52 walks to 65 strikeouts, and 60 stolen bases, only caught nine times. I think at the time that would have ranked third or fourth in major leagues for against other teams, or I think it was only two or three teams that had more steals than Ruiz had by himself. And those aren't, you know, low A, high A inflated stolen base. Like he's just always been an elite speed guy. He had 34 steals in 98 games back in 2019. He had 36 in 84 games last year. He had 49 in 117 games in 2018. The list goes on and on. So that elite speed's always been there. But, you know, after, you know, looking good with the bat and rookie ball, it kind of was kind of meh with the bat. 250, 240 type of guy. The approach has gotten better. He's hitting more line drives, which is a huge thing this year. Seeing that power uptick. I think long-term, and people are going to go bonkers over him because of the speed, which could be an absolute, you know, huge asset for fantasy purposes. But, you know, I think somewhere in, like, the Tommy Edman range could be a, you know, reasonable expectation. You know, like 12 to 15 home runs, 25 to 30 steal, maybe even more than that, you know, 270-ish average. So I think he could be definitely a top 100 guy moving forward. But, you know, I don't know, maybe now might be a great time to sell high in Dynasty Leagues, believe it or not, because I've seen some Ricky Henderson comps thrown out there and some other crazy stuff like that. So I don't know. Do you think now is a good time to sell high, Chris? Or are you holding on to him right now?
You know, I do think it's a good time to sell. Every prospect this year outside of Rodriguez and Bobby Witt Jr. have really seen their dynasty value deflate. And I'd even argue that Witt and even J-Rod maybe were down an extent to begin the season. So, you know, it seems likely that his value might be at pinnacle right now. And I think it's the prime time to sell. Like, you're probably getting the most value out of him now. Yeah, I think he's a very valuable player, but some of the comps are pretty wild that I'm seeing. I like him, but if you can cash out and get a top 100 dynasty guy for him, I'm more than willing to do that, in my opinion. So yeah, I would at least float him and see what you can get. Like, it never hurts to do that, because someone could overpay. They get excited about the call up. Like, I would suggest at least seeing what you could get, but in the right deal, I would trade him, but I'm not going to like just trade him for nothing. But I do think that this could be peak value for him.
Yeah. It's like, this falls into one of those ideal times to sell. Value is just so crazy high on him right now, just because of what he's been doing in the minor leagues. And like I said, there's a lot of tangible changes, that the approach has improved. You know, the more line drives always helps. So there's a lot of good stuff in there. So I'm not saying he's going to revert back to, you know, 240, 250 hitter like he was for 2018, 19, and 21. Maybe somewhere's in the middle, which is probably about where I had him, about Tommy Edman range, which is still very good. But, you know, that's no guarantee. You know, there's definitely a lower floor here, high upsides, a wide range of outcomes with Ruiz. But alongside him, Abrams is starting to pick it up a little bit too, Chris, over the last few weeks. I think it was like 7 first last 17, had a home run the other day. Coors definitely helps that. Just real quick, I know we didn't have him on the outline, but, you know, what are your thoughts on Abrams right now? Do you still value him same as you did, let's say, 2 months ago, or does that value change for you?
I do, and it seems like people are fading him. They're talking about, you know, wanting Gunnar Henderson. I've seen people say Gunnar Henderson by a mile over CJ, which I think is
that's a bit much.
Nuts, yeah. I mean, we're talking about a 21-year-old, like, in his first taste of professional ball. Like, what? I'm not sure what you're expecting, but right. I don't know. It just goes to show you how quick prospects' values change. And so on the flip side of Ruiz, like, Ruiz just coming up with a hype, like, trade him. I think now's the peak time to buy CJ Abrams, especially, you know, people just look at the overall line. It's extremely underwhelming. So it could present that good opportunity to buy right now. And I just think, as the year progresses on, like, you're only going to see his value increase, if I had to guess. And from that standpoint, I just see what you can get for him now. Let's see, since being recalled, Abrams is hitting 286 with a homer with no steals, which is interesting. He hadn't walked, which is bizarre, but still, I mean, we're putting the ball in play, which is definitely a positive. We'll see how the plate discipline skills look. We're chasing a lot out of the zone. That's a little discouraging, but the contact is there. Like, the zone contact's at 87% since being recalled. Overall contact, 80.2%. So even with a high O swing, like, we're still seeing, you know, productive measures there. And I don't know. I just really think that the best days are still ahead for him. So I just go out and see what you can get, at least. I think it's peak time to go get him.
Yeah, I bet you could probably make a Ruiz for Abrams trade right now. I bet you that's at least possible.
Yeah, people just change values way too quick in their heads.
Yeah, and I would do that all day. I like Ruiz. Like I said, there's a lot of good stuff going on in the profile, a lot of tangible improvements this year. But yeah, I would still take Abrams. I think he's the better pure hitter. And yeah, Ruiz is going wild on the base path. But remember, Abrams is an elite speedster as well. He's had a chance to do 30, 35 steals a year as well. So moving on to slightly less exciting prospect, but one that's looking pretty good so far over in Cleveland, Ohio. Mr. Nolan Jones, former, I don't know if he ever made top 25, but he probably got fairly close, on at least top 50, especially on OBP for focused lists as for sure. For his first 6 games with Cleveland, he's got 7 hits, 2 doubles, a home run, 3 walks, and 5 Ks, 412, 500, 706 slash. And, you know, he only had 23 games this year in AAA. Had an injury, limited him to just those 23 games, but he looked pretty good there as well. 311, 417, 500 slash line, 6 doubles, home runs, 4 steals. You know, he's always walked at an incredibly high rate. Like, this guy has 327 walks in just 1,968 plate appearances which equates out to a 16.6% walk rate. K rate did get a bit high last year, jumped over 30% last year, but you came back down a little bit this year, on back under 30%, at least down to 26.8. That's always been a slight issue of his, and more so that maybe not because he chases too much, but just because he works the count so much. He gets himself in a lot of two strike counts. So maybe, you know, the K rate is a bit higher than it should be given his skills. But where are you at right now on Nolan Jones, Chris? Because I think a lot of people in the industry are kind of fading him after a, you know, not a terrible year last year. You know, he hit 238, but with a 356 OBP. But I think a lot of people are fading him because of the underwhelming performance. But, you know, is this a good buying opportunity right now for Nolan Jones? Are you still a believer in him long term?
Yeah, I am. And I think his value only is better in OBP leagues. He's still a solid average play. He's made some strides with cutting the strikeout rate, making more contact this year. You know, he has really underrated raw power that he really hasn't gotten to. I don't know if he does at this point. I mean, we're talking about somebody that's 24 years old and we really haven't seen him get to big power, but I really do think he's got big power in the profile, at least from a raw power standpoint. And maybe he can get to that in games. I don't know, but I mean, he's already hit a ball 110 miles an hour this year. In 12 batted balls, he's averaging 98 miles an hour, which is, you know, pretty dang good, small sample. But he's hitting a lot of balls hard, so I think that's a big factor. We've seen him hit more line drives. And, you know, surprisingly, at AAA, like, he had a really high ground ball rate, which was, you know, pretty uncharacteristic for what we had seen in the past, like 59%, and he was still hitting 311. Like, to me, that was encouraging. So I think we see that come down a bit, and I'm pretty on board with buying him. Like, I think people just faded him so much. Like, he was probably, like, not rostered in some dynasty leagues that are, I would say that they're more shallow. Like, he's probably stayed rostered in most, but he probably was cut in a lot of dynasty leagues. So,
hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think it's a reasonable call to say go out and buy him. I mean, he's been added in 27% of Fantrax leagues as a recent, only rostered in 58% still. So it shows you the big jump, and still I think he just being a bit undervalued. So I'd at least add him and see where it goes. I'd even add him in redraft leagues. Like, who is stopping him? Like, who is he? No one's going to take his playing time if he performs, just because Cleveland doesn't really have anybody. Their outfield's just not good. So I'd see him getting continued reps there. I'm not particularly worried about the playing time. If he's hitting, he's going to play. So I'd add him in pretty much all leagues.
Yeah, I would too. You know, I was another one that bumped him down probably a bit further than I should. But, you know, I was kind of thinking of how I value him long-term the other day. And I can see him settling in kind of in the same ballpark as, like, you know, Nathaniel Lowe. You know, maybe, you know, more OBP, a little bit less average, but, you know, 20, you know, or so home runs, adds, you know, Lowe adds in a little bit of speed. I think Jones add in, you know, 5, 6, 7 steals. So I think that general ballpark. So not ever be a, you know, starting caliber guy. Maybe he's a guy who could be a, you know, solid fourth outfielder, maybe a corner infield type for your team. Top like 200-ish overall player maybe. But yeah, that raw power, it's almost like you gotta find that good balance of, you know, aggressiveness to unleash that power, because like we've said it before in articles and podcasts in the past, where I think if he wanted to, I think he could flirt with 30 home runs or so, maybe not 35-40, but I think he definitely could at least sniff 30 home runs if he really, you know, set out to hit for more power instead of this passive approach, which has worked. He has a 399 career OBP, but he has 54 home runs in 462 games, which equates out to about a roughly around 18, 19 or so per 162, which is, it's okay, but not, he has the potential for at least 5 to 10 more than that per season. So I do think he's a good buy as well. Now, you mentioned that the playing time should be there as long as he continues to hit. Cleveland doesn't have much. It's like Joe Rim and a bunch of, I don't know, whatever they want to throw out there these days. So He's going to have the opportunity to do so. Nice power, a little bit of speed. You know, he's hitting well so far. So, yeah, definitely buying back in a bit here, at least higher than I was, you know, a year ago or even earlier this year. Moving back over to the major league or the pitching side of things, I should say, a couple of pretty valuable arms here that just don't look good right now. Like I put on the outline, Lance Lynn looks like crap, and so does Tarik Skubal. We'll start with Mr. Lance Lynn here, who since coming back from, what was the injury he had, Chris? I'm blanking on it.
I'm blanking. Oh. Knee. It was a knee issue.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well,
Hold on. This is a recent, he's had surgery on his knee. I didn't even realize he was having another, he's missing time again.
Wait, what?
Oh, geez. What? Okay. I'm about to cut that. All right. So there's a Bleacher Report. When I Googled Lance Lynn injury, it said 22 hours ago and it said knee. And I was like, what? So I clicked on it and then it said April 22nd. Hold on. Around 21.
How would I start this whole section over?
That's fine. Okay. I don't know what in the world.
I was like, that's something?
Because literally on Google, it says 22 hours ago. So I click on it, and it's like, Lance Lynn, knee injury. Sorry, it says April 3rd, 2022, and I click on it. Like, why are you doing this to me, Bleacher Report?
Damn, Bleacher Report. Okay, I'll just start this section over.
That's fine.
All right, moving back over to the pitching side of things. We have a couple big-name arms here that just don't look good lately. And even on our outline here that Chris and I go off of every show, I put down, Lance Lynn looks like crap. Then the line below it, so does Tarik Skubal. Let's start with Lance Lynn, though. You know, after missing the first, you know, two or so months, or at least month and a half, whatever it was, it was about 2 months of the season with a knee injury. He's made six starts since returning. And out of those six starts, like you look at, you know, debut was against the Tigers, which is, you know, should have been a cakewalk. Three earned, 10 hits and a home run, you know, over four and a third innings. Really, he's had one good start. He had on the 1st of July against the Giants, six innings, three hits of no runs, two walks, and five Ks. And overall, 6.97 ERA, 1.52 WHIP. K rates, walk rate's about the same as it's always been. K rate's down to 20.1%. You know, but with that said, you look at the xERA is three runs lower, while the ERA indicators are way lower. But even with that, you know, even with those being lower, he just doesn't look right now. So I don't know. How old is he now? Is he 36? No, he's still 35. Do you see? I know it's maybe a bit overreacting to six starts for a pretty solid veteran that's had a pretty solid track record over the last handful of years. But, you know, is it time to start panicking about Lance Lynn moving forward, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, his velo's down, which is pretty noticeable. I mean, 94 average last year on the fastball, 92.6 this year. Mile and a half is pretty substantial. Sinker's also down, 91.1. His cutter's pretty consistent, but the changeup, you know, 87.2 last year, 85.7 this year. So pretty noticeable drop in velo here that I think is probably affecting him for sure. Not limiting him with whiffs by any means, though. He's still getting more whiffs on the four seam than he did last year, which is surprising. You know, the cutter getting similar results, sinker even more whiffs than last year, but you're seeing a big fall off with really his less used pitches and the changeup and curve, but those were effective when he threw them last year. He's just not really being effective right now, and it's showing with everything that you're getting. I mean, I'm interested to see, like, where does it go from here? I feel like he's still got the stuff, but there's just been a lot of inconsistencies. And, you know, his last start was obviously just brutal. 8 earned runs, 4 innings. That will destroy your team. And he allowed 5 earned in 5 innings before that. But he had his good start against the Giants. I don't know. I'm not saying to go out and trade for him, but I mean, his value's probably the lowest it's been.
Yeah, I'm struggling to figure out what I want to do with Lance Lynn right now. Obviously, in Dynasties, he's lower than Chris Sale. He's older than Chris Sale and not as good as Chris Sale. But if a redraft, I don't know. I bumped him down, you know, in my rest of season rankings, which will be out today on Thursday when you're listening to this. Let's see, where did I bump him down to? It was 43. He was 32 last week. I almost want to go even lower. Like, you know, since returning, like, say 6.97 ERA, 1.52 WHIP. You know, the Ks aren't there. I don't know. You mentioned the velocity is down, his movement's down on a lot of his fastballs. He's kind of altered his pitch mix here. Like last year, he only threw, you know, 7.6% of his curveball and changeup combined, 92.4% combined on four seam cut and sinker. This year, he's using the out of the slider, using curveball and changeup more. Those three are, I don't know, quick math, around like 22-ish%. So, and maybe he gets back to going more with that, you know, heavy fastball with the, you know, the three distinct fastballs there, four seam, cutter, and sinker. Is that was working for him last year? All three are pretty solid offerings. You all had a batting average against under 250. You know, slugging against a 400 or less. So maybe he gets back to that. I don't know. He doesn't look good, and that velocity dip is pretty concerning for sure. So I don't know. I guess right now you got to hold and see if he kind of turns it around, but. I mean, maybe I'd bench him for a start or two here until he gets right. And I say that he's probably going to have a gem his next outing. This is how it goes. But moving over to Tarik Skubal, he's just been even worse, really, over the last month. And this is a guy that was just dominating first month and a half, you know, near 2 months of the season where, you know, people were asking, you know, is he a fantasy ace? I didn't quite get to that level, but I think I had him around top 20 overall. So, you know, it's firmly in the mid to upper, you know, SP2 range. But over his last seven starts, including four earned and six innings today, so it wasn't like a blow up, but and he's really had a lot of blow ups, just a lot of like that, a lot of just bad, you know, mediocre outings. So, last seven starts, 35 innings, 45 hits, 29 earned runs, 15 walks, 32 Ks. That's a 7.46 ERA and 1.71 WHIP. Chris, you think, is this a case where maybe we just went too far to the other end of the spectrum with Skubal? Obviously, he's better than this. You know, we've seen that. He's a very talented arm, but maybe he's just not top 20 guy. But I still think he can be a solid, maybe mid to back end SP2 or, you know, high end SP3, top 30 or so pitcher for Dynasty. But I don't know. He's just not looking good right now.
Yeah, and he's allowing more home runs than he did. It's not as extreme as it was last year, and that would kind of plagued him. I wonder if the warmer weather has kind of caused that some. Obviously, hadn't been good in June over six starts, a 5.85 ERA, which is, you know, far from encouraging. Did have 34 Ks in 32 innings, but still, when you're rolling out a 5.85 ERA and a 1.4 WHIP over the month, it's not going to really benefit your team at all. This month, it's been pretty much more of the same. 5.94 ERA in three starts, so you know, not great there. He's had a couple blowups. He had another, you know, rough outing today in an easy matchup, I'd say, against the Royals, where he allowed four earned and six innings with five Ks. So I don't know. I mean, I think we did go a little high on him. I did. I know. I think he will be okay. He's at least eating a ton of innings, like, which is really good. So he's compiling innings. He's over 100 innings right now, which is beneficial. I think he comes back around. To what extent, I don't know. I think he's probably like a closer to a 4 ERA type, which is fine. Like, that'll work for your team. You don't have to be a low 3s ERA type like he was doing early on in the season for him to be okay. So I'm okay with what he's doing. The velocity did take has seen a tick up, which is interesting. I'll be curious when they put this in after today's start, but his last start, his velo was actually up the highest that's been since early on in the year, since early May. So we'll see if that sticks, but the velo did dip in his July 3rd start pretty significantly and was back up. So I'd follow that. I'd watch him close. I think he's fine, but I'm not crazy about him.
Yeah, I'm not either. I think he's good. I just don't think he's great where I think people were valuing him. And a couple of things I noticed when digging into the profile, I had to go back and look to see if he like changed his arm slot at all, because some of the differences in, especially in vertical movement on his breaking pitches from last year to this year is pretty stark. Like, see his slider last year, this is vertical movement, 32.6 inches of drop. This year, it's down to 25.3. Curveball 63.9 down to 55.3. So a lot less vertical movement on both of his breaking balls, you know, without really, you think he would have gained some, you know, a lot of horizontal or something like that. But, you know, the curveball, he's throwing harder by about 3 miles an hour this year. slider is also being thrown harder, about 3 miles an hour for both. So I don't know, interesting change there, throwing both of those harder than he did last year. And maybe that's just not working this year, because the slider you get in the last couple of months, especially last month in June, 281 batting average against on the slider, 594 slug. Curveball was 333 batting average against and 500 slug. This month in July, 417 batting average against and 750 slug on that slider. Curveball is better, but he's almost gotten rid of the curveball, down to 5%. That's really dropped off. He was around 10% in April. He's cut that in half, basically, going more so four-seamer, sinker, changeup, and slider. But that slider has not been good. Four-seamer still hasn't been good. It was better earlier on the season. It was terrible last year, but it's back to kind of being terrible. Like this month, 429 batting average against, and is that right? 1429 slug.
Ooh.
Oh my That's god. Bad. I had to like look them like, is that a typo?
Double take.
761 Woba. I know it's only been a few starts, but oh my god, that just wow. I'm not used to seeing that. 1429 slug. All right. Yeah, so not good. But yeah, I think Skubal, he's just not what he was, you know, as good as he was early on in the year. He's not this bad either. He's somewhere in the middle. I think he can do a bit better than 4 ERA. Maybe he's like a 3.5, 3.6, 3.7 ERA with, you know, 25, 26% K rate. So, yeah, I think that's a high-end SP3, maybe a back-end SP2. Yeah, I think he's a little better than what Jose Berríos was for several years. I think he can get a little more Ks than Berríos, but maybe similar ratios. So I think that's the general range where I think he falls into long-term. All right, speaking of pitchers here, that, you know, I personally think this next guy is a bit overvalued. I had a tweet last night. I haven't looked at it in the last like 20 minutes or so, but at least the first 500 votes, I asked people, all right, who would you rather have? And I asked just for rest of season as I was working on my rest of season starting pitcher rankings. And these guys ended up being, you know, fairly close, only like 4 or 5 spots apart. I asked, like, who would you rather have, Alek Manoah or Christian Javier? And immediately, I knew it was going to go like this, too. It went 85% Manoah, which made me think, you know, looked at the stats. You know, obviously, I looked at last 30 days. Javier has better stats. That's what, like 5, 6 starts. Obviously, small sample size, but I still would take Manoah. But that started to make me think, is Manoah just a bit overvalued? Like, you look over the last 30 days, Manoah's been solid. You know, he's been good. Where were his stats here? 38 innings, 3.32 ERA, 103 whip. 23.2% K rate. So K rate's kind of middle of the road. Doesn't have the huge K rate. He never really has. He's never been a guy that, you know, racked up, you know, 10 plus strikeout games. He's never been that type of guy. He just induces weak contact. He can get saw guys off with that sinker. That slider is a solid whiff rate pitch, but that's really it. So while I think he's still very good, he's definitely like SP2 moving forward. I feel like a lot of people are valuing him just on namesake alone as damn near borderline top 10 arm, especially for dynasty purposes. And I think I had him there, which I'm going to move him down a little bit in my next update, but I don't think he's a top 10 arm. Like in my rest of season rankings, I moved him down to 21 overall. He's right in the same range as, like, you know, again, rest of season, not dynasty, like Robbie Ray, who's been doing oddly very well lately. He's got back on track last couple months here. Charlie Morton, Kershaw, Strider's in that range. But I don't know. I think Manoah is a bit overvalued. So I think now might be a solid time to try to see what you can get for him. Like if you can get a Javier type of guy and then also get a really good second piece that can help you out, I might look to pull the trigger on that. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Chris?
I'm interested. I don't know. The strikeout rate is really the biggest thing, I think, keeping him from being that guy. But he's been really good. I mean, even last month. June was his worst month, and he still had a 2.56 ERA in 38.2 innings, a 103 whip. Like he's got the walks down so much that he's, you know, the whip has been stellar. That's a huge help to your teams. And the K's, well, not great. I mean, he struck out 33 over 38 innings last month. This month has been, you know, not so good. Obviously, 2 starts, and he had a bad start against the A's of like all teams, where he went 5 2/3, 4 earned, 5 Ks, 2 walks. But overall, the numbers have been there. The swing and miss stuff is really the concern there. where he's just not getting a ton of whiffs, and I think that's what's hurting him. The four-seam whiff rate is down 8% from last year. The slider whiff rate is down 5.5% from last year. Sinker, you don't get a ton of whiffs on sinkers, but that's still down 5 percentage points. So all those are pretty notable, seeing those down, and you have to wonder why exactly. But I think I don't value him as an ace, but I do think he's like a high-end two, where he's really good at managing hard contact. He's significantly improved his stuff with at least walks. So the control has been a little bit better. He talk about scuba leading innings. Manoah's at 107 two-thirds innings and 17 starts, which is great. And he's providing a low ERA and the whip below one. Like, those are huge helps for your team. The biggest thing is, can he get the strikeouts up? Like, can he get the strikeout rate up to 25%, I guess is the question. Like, right now, he's like a similar pitcher to Fried, I guess. I was
just about to say that. I was going to ask you who you wanted moving forward, Manoah or Fried.
Yeah, I mean, you take Manoah because of age and dynasty, but I think they're very comparable with what you're getting right now from the production standpoint of where they've been, really good from an ERA standpoint and even a WHIP standpoint. The Ks are a little bit underwhelming of what you'd want of a high-end starter, but they're both stable and really good. So at 24 years old, there's still room for improvement too. We often see pitchers peak later. So
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm not out on him. I mean, I think he's not quite top 10 for me, but he's definitely a solid top 20, top 15 dynasty arm.
Yeah, no, I'm not out either, but I think, like, seeing that poll, I'm like, that shouldn't be 85-15. Like, I think people think he's like, 28-29% K rate, and the ERA is overall in the year in the mid twos, but a lot of the ERA indicators are a bit higher than that. So I think he's like a low three ERA, 24-ish% K rate guy, which I basically just described Max Fried. How old is Max Fried? He's not that much older, is he?
I think he just turned 28, so he's not like significantly older.
28?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he just turned 28. Check that.
I thought he was like 25, 26. How is he 28? Wow.
Yeah, he turned 28 in January, so before the season.
Oh, so he's like 28 and a half now. Okay.
He was around a long time. I think he was in the 2012 draft.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He has been. Yeah, he's been around forever. And he was a high school draftee back then.
2012, seventh overall pick. So, yeah, he's been around forever.
Wow. Was he and Anderson? No, Anderson was a handful of years later. No, Anderson.
16?
Wait, yeah, that's right. Yeah, a few years later. Okay. Who was it? They drafted another high school arm in there, too, that didn't pan out. I forget who it was. But anyway.
I don't know.
But, I think he's around Fried. Again, that's Fried, like, actually, if you looked up SP2 on Google, we can't say the dictionary anymore. Who uses the dictionary anymore? Like, it's Google. Everyone Googles stuff nowadays. So if you Googled Max or SP2, it'd be just a picture of Max Fried looking at you. And I think Manoah's right in that range. So again, I think he's just, but I don't think people think that. Like, if I put out a poll between Manoah and Fried, I bet you it would be 70-30 or so towards Manoah. I think it's a lot closer than that. So again, not saying he's bad, not saying I'm out, but just I think it's a good time to, like I said, sell, get a good second piece that is closer to him than people think, and then get another piece with that. And, like I said, if you could trade him for like Max Fried and like another like to back end top 100 guy or something like that, I think this is something you could probably pull off, and I would do that all day. last name here before we hit a break. Trevor Story. I guess we'll start this first half of the show with a Red Sox, end with a Red Sox. And one that I'm just struggling to figure out how I want to value him. As you look at the stat line, and overall counting stats are pretty good right now. 15 home runs, 10 steals, 58 RBI. You know, it helps when you're hitting behind Devers and Bogey and JD and all them. That definitely helps. And also 49 runs. So he's on, you know, roughly like a 27 homer, you know, 18 steal, 100 RBI, you know, 90 run pace or something like that. But the slash line's 221, 289, 423. And, and we said offseason that, you know, give him some time to get adjusted outside of cores. How long is that adjustment period? Like, we are over halfway through the season now. We're like, what, 90, 92 games in, something like that. Over halfway through the season. And outside, and I tweeted, you know, not too long ago, like, outside of that 1-2 week stretch where he turned into like Babe Ruth for, you know, like I said, 2-3 weeks, he's been really not good outside of those 2 weeks. Trying to find that tweet here so I can pull it up real quick. Yeah, right. So from opening day to May 15th, 196, 276, 286 slash from 516 to 526. So even it's a week and a half, which was his 46 plate appearances, 333, 413, 974 with 8 home runs. And then from May 27th to, I did this tweet 3 days ago, 211, 269, 388. So again, counting stats are still there because he's in that good lineup, good park. But is it time that we just bump him down? Like, should he be, you know, I don't think he should be top 50 anymore. I think he's maybe closer to top 100 than top 50 at this point. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I haven't dropped him substantially yet. I guess because I roster him a lot of dynasty leagues.
is it time to, though? I think that's the question.
He's running a really low BABIP, which, you know, I guess that begs the question of, you know, you look in. Yeah, Coors definitely boost your BABIP, but even looking at his career on the road, he still had a 314 BABIP throughout his career away from Coors Field, and this year is down at 277. I'm curious his home and road splits for BABIP. Let's see. So 272 at home and 283 on the road. You know, I mean, Fenway is actually a pretty good park for BABIP.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, yeah, his BABIP's going to come up. Like, it should pull up his average. I'm not necessarily sitting here and telling you that. His line drive rate is down, which line drives obviously induce the most batted balls that land for hits. But you've seen that trend downward the last 3 years. 2019, his line drive rate was at 24.3. That was the peak of his career. 2020 was 22.7%, obviously a smaller sample. 2021, it was down to 18.9% line drives. And this year it's 16.5%. He's hitting too many fly balls and pop-ups that are causing him to get out. It's like, that's really what I'm seeing in the profile. And maybe that's something that can be fixed. But, you know, Savant splits out fly balls into pop-ups, and he's at 13.1% pop-ups and 31% fly balls. So that's a pretty hefty rate there when we look at it in that standpoint. The ground balls aren't an issue, it's the pop-ups. So maybe we can get that figured out and straightened out. But, you know, his production, you're right, is probably warranted a drop in ranking, but I'm kind of holding on as a top 50 guy, back in top 50, kind of seeing, you know, do the strikeouts get in check, like 30.7% right now? Maybe that comes around. I don't know. It's tough to say, but I'm remaining hopeful for the moment, at least giving him a little bit longer leash just based on what we've seen. I know everybody will sit here and say, well, he's out of Coors, like you should have expected this, but I'm not looking at it that way, honestly. And I think that he'll be okay personally. Maybe not to the standard we once thought of him, but I do think he kind of stays as a top 50 guy.
Yeah, I think he'd still be good. Obviously, like, the counting stats are still there. He'll be in Fenway. He'll be in the Red Sox lineup. Those two things are always positive. But I said the higher K rate, higher whiff rate, higher chase rate, lower zone contact rate. These aren't like huge jumps or decreases, whatever you want to call them. But, you know, they all are worse than in years past. And a lot of these are career worst marks. Whiff rate, second worst of his career. Chase rate is the worst of his career. K rate is the worst since his first two seasons. So the worst in the last five seasons. I don't know. Yeah, I think he's definitely still top 100, but I don't know. I can't do top 50 personally. Like, I see a lot of red flags here. Just watching him, he just doesn't look good at the plate. And I think he's just a product of being in a good lineup in a good park. And obviously those matter in fantasy, and you got to, you know, he can only, you know, play where he can play and hit where he can hit in the lineup. So I don't know. I just think he's, I don't know. I'll probably put him in the vicinity of 70 to 75 if I had to guess. Plus he's 29. It's like he's like super young anymore. And that's not old either. You know, I'm 32 now, so I don't want to say 29 is old to make me feel even older, but I don't know. This is a lot more blue in the profile than there used to be. I don't know. I guess I'm just a little bitter because he's probably the guy that makes it so we can't re-sign Xander Bogaerts or Rafael Devers or both. But I don't know. I think it's time to bump him down the rankings a bit here. All right, let's go take a quick break, get a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Support for Fantrax Toolshed is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the ultimate men's hygiene bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping using the code TOOLSHED at manscaped.com. The Performance 4.0 package by Manscaped has arrived, and it is a game changer. Inside this package, you will find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. First off, the Lawnmower 4.0 is the trimmer of the future, dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever. I'm blown away by the performance and craftsmanship of this trimmer. Their fourth generation trimmer features cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 400K LED spotlight you need for more precise shaving. Because this trimmer is waterproof, you can say goodbye to the mess on the bathroom floor. And you thought that was good, but Manscaped wants to take your grooming game even further. And the Performance 4.0 package includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer, which is also waterproof and has the proprietary skin safe technology to help reduce nicks, snags, tugs in those delicate nose holes. The Crop Preserver below the waist deodorant and Crop Reviver below the waist toner will change the way you approach your daily hygiene routine. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts in their Performance 4.0 package: the Manscaped boxers and the Shed travel bag. Bring comfort and boxers to another level. It's time to take care of yourself and get some new tools for your shed. So go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping using the code TOOLSHED. That's right, 20% off. Use the code TOOLSHED, get some new tools for your shed, and join 5 million men around the world today who used Manscaped.
All right, welcome back from the break. Let's get into some prospect standouts here. Let's start up in the good old Pacific Northwest with my boy, Noel V. Marte, who up until the first like month and a half, 2 months of the season was not bad, but not good. Like, he was this kind of, I hate using the term meh, but I think I use the word term meh way too often, but this is what he was. It was like, you know, slash line was okay. There wasn't a lot of power speed, was there a little bit, but not to the level that we were kind of expecting. He was underwhelming, I guess is a better way to describe him, but over the last 30 days, he has really, really performed how we thought he would all season. So that's 109 plate appearances over the last 30 days, slashing 311, 422, 578, 7 home runs, 6 steals, 13.8% walk rate, and a 14.7% K rate, showing that power, showing the speed, getting the approach back in check here, which it wasn't out of check. It wasn't like he had a super high K rate or anything like that, but he's really showing a better approach lately over the last month or so that he's ever shown, getting that power speed blend back to where we hoped it would be, you know, 311 average, 422 OBP, a lot of good things here. So he goes from being a top 10 guy to, I had him around 20 last update, and I think he's creeping back up in the top 10 territory. Is he there for you, Chris?
I think I'm going to hold him near 20. You mentioned he's definitely been better since June 1st, 280, 377, 536 slash. You've seen the strikeout rate drop to 21.2% over that time. He does have 9 home runs over that span, which is encouraging. I'm a bit worried about the steals. I'm not sure how much he actually runs long term. I mean, you've seen him already getting caught more this year. I mean, he does have 11 on the year, but been caught 5 times. You know, last year, caught 7 times. You should have to wonder, like, he's bigger, bulky type guy. He's really put on some weight and in turn gotten to the power that we thought he could. But I don't know. I am concerned about the stolen bases. But again, that's the least of my concerns in this profile. I'm definitely encouraged by the cutting and strikeout rate that we've seen. Like, that's been great to see as he's really come down there. So I'm on board. I still have him. I still think he's going to stick in that 10 to 20 range. The top 10's got some real talent right now. Obviously, if he keeps this up, he could certainly push up. But overall, I would say that I'm encouraged. I still like him, but I'm not top 10 on him, but close.
Yeah, I think I was looking at Rick. I have him back up to 13 overall. You know, there's just so many good guys in the top 10. It was like, I can't put him back ahead of like Tovar, who's right in that range. I just can't do it, but he's in that discussion again, I think. And that's just showing. I also share those concerns about how much he runs long term because of the body. But I still think speed will be at least somewhat of an element to his game, where maybe it's like, 5 to 10 steals. Maybe he does get double digits early in his career, but settles in as more of like 5 to 8 guy later on in his mid to late 20s. But 25, 30 home runs, I think still solid average, solid OBP is in that profile as well. Where he plays in the field, I have no idea at this point. You know, Seattle's got a lot of good young talent. If I had to, throw $100 of my own money down right now, I'd probably say third, but who knows? It could be third. It could be maybe quarter outfield. I think short is still a possibility, though I wouldn't bet a ton of money on that. But it's nice to see him, back to doing Nolovi Marte things here in the last, month or two. Next couple names here. Two of the bigger, rising names this year, the really fun, sexy new names that are, getting near the top of the rankings now, Elly De La Cruz and Jackson Churio. Both are just continue to tear it up in the lower minors here. Elly De La Cruz in high A, 20 years old still, over the last 30 days, 99 plate appearances, slashing .341, .434, .718, and 9 home runs, 13 steals. It is high A, but still showing that huge power speed blend. And what's really encouraging, like, those are great. Like, the power speed is great. That slash line is sexy. But what I like the most is that 14.1% walk rate over the last month and a 26.3% K rate, which might not sound great just by, that number alone, but compared to where he was, that was about 33, 34% a month or two ago. So he's making those incremental improvements with the approach while still showing the power speed blend without losing any power. He's not sacrificing anything, getting in that higher OBP. He's earning, Martinez is the run. He's super exciting. I think he's top 20 now. And I think you could see him top 10 before the season's over.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I want to say both are already there in the top 10.
I know,
It seems nuts. I've done a little digging on Churio. I was interested, how is he against off-speed pitches, change-ups, curves, etc. And while he's been a little underwhelming against change-ups, he's really been good against breaking balls. While he's at a lower level of the minors, he's not going to see as advanced of breaking balls, still, I'm encouraged to see good results there early on. We're talking about the youngest player in full season ball, I'm pretty sure. Most everybody his age is in, complex ball and was in extended spring training when he started. So, the WRC plus, it's amazing. You've probably seen the tweet of comparable people his age at the level, and he was above, every stud there. So, he's really just crushed. He crushes mistakes. You watch him hit, and, that's the biggest thing. You're seeing some of the lower-level pitchers leave these breaking balls hanging, and he just, demolishes them. But I'd say overall, his barrel rates are really good against off speeds from what I was able to pick up. And like I mentioned, the heat maps do show that he can really crush mistakes and does well against breakers. So that's encouraging to me. With Ellie, you're right. I mean, the cut in the K rate's really been the biggest thing, the increased average in contact. I mean, yeah, he's still running a 30.5% K rate right now, but I mean, we've kind of seen it. We've seen him go through stretches where he's improved it, but the ability to hit for average has been really big. And the K rate, as I mentioned, has come down if you look as the season has progressed, which to me is encouraging. Over the last month, just at 25.5%. Season, I mentioned 30.5%. So he is trending in the right direction there, walking more. I mean, daggum, a 610 slug's impressive. He has a 160 WRC plus. Well, he is older than Churio. He has a 307 ISO. The power speed is just ridiculous here. So I'm, you know, it's crazy, but I'm pretty much like on board completely with him. So, man, are both these guys top 10? Like, they're certainly pushing for it.
First off, I love that you just said daggone. That's like one of the most southern sayings. Like, you can tell you're from the south there. I love that saying. But yeah, Ellie De La Cruz, I'm much higher on De La Cruz than Churio. Actually, I like Churio. There's a lot of talent there, but two things that just continue to give me some little bit of pause in going that high and that crazy with him in my rankings is he's still striking out a good amount. Again, he's young, very talented, but the K rate over the last month, 33%. That's the average is starting to dip, 242 over the last month. But like you said, Chris, he's either the lowest, youngest, I should say, or one of the youngest in full season ball. I think he is the youngest. He's still got 6 home runs, 5 steals over the last month, you know, 14 total extra base hits, 106 plate appearances. But the K rate remains a little high. There's still, obviously he's young, so this can plenty of time to work on this, but he needs to go through and make those adjustments like De La Cruz has done. And I just don't trust Milwaukee's track record of developing hitters. I've said it before, you know, but you look at the last handful of years, Gustin Hiria didn't pan out, or at least not to the, you know, level that we thought, or even anyone was near it. You know, Perez was the big name last year. He's fizzled out a bit, you know, at least compared to what we thought he could be. Garrett Mitchell, there's just a lot of, you know, even look back at some of their big names from, you know, 5-6 years ago. I'm trying to think back, like Tristan Lotz didn't amount to anything. Lucas Erceg, I never could say his last name, E-R-C-E-G, yeah. I remember it was.
I think it was Ryan.
Erceg or Erceg, maybe it was a soft C, I'm not even sure. Mm-hmm. But just a lot of those guys never panned out. So I just don't trust their hitting development. So I don't know. Still talented, very talented. Upside is sky high. We've seen that. Like, he looks the part. But I'm just not ready to go that high with him. De La Cruz is getting damn close. And like I said, I think if he continues this and continues to show, you know, the incremental improvements with the K rate, the walk rate, with the swing and strike rate, all of that, while still having the massive power speed blend, yeah, I think he's going to be top 10 very, very soon. Like, what is he up to now? I'm trying to pull up his overall stats for the season. He's 20 home runs and 28 steals right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think he was quite 2020 yet, but he's almost 2030 in 72 games. That is just insane. He said he's one of the youngest at high A at 20 years old. So, man, De La Cruz is very, very enticing. And he's got that ballpark waiting him, Great American Small Park. A lot to get excited about. But Churio, I'd throw a little bit of pause. Maybe if you can sell high, get a safer piece that's still, you know, very high in rankings as well, I wouldn't be opposed to that. So I think this definitely I'm more – I feel better about Ellie reaching his potential than I do Churio. Again, still young, but obviously two very, very talented hitters. All right, moving over to this is a guy I put on for selfish reasons. Jeter Downs actually has been performing pretty well over the last, you know, month or so, you know, up in Boston. Well, this is between a little bit of time in AAA, but he had a game-winning hit the other day against the Yankees. That's got to feel good. Well, over the last month, 93 plate appearances, 312, 409, 662, 7 home runs, 6 doubles, 11.8% walk rate, and a 20.4% K rate. Again, that slid up some AAA, mixed in with some MLB. I'm combining the two, but still, it's very encouraging. And 8 steals as well. I didn't even mention that, 8 steals. So getting back to, at least in this small little snippet here, of a lot of what made Jeter Downs a very attractive prospect for fantasy. And I'm not sure if I'm not ready to go back on him to that degree, but you know, maybe he's another guy like a Nolan Jones that we talked about earlier. Maybe we went a little too far down on him, but you know, I think there might be a little nice little fantasy player here still. But what do you think, Chris?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he's been good. I'm curious, like, what is his long-term outlook like, and where does he fit? I mean, does Xander go? Like, if Xander goes, I guess they bump Story to short and Jeter plays second. I mean, has played some third too. I mean, Devers obviously there. So, man, I don't know. He's like, how does he fit into the plans in Boston, I guess, is the question. Yeah.
And we still got York coming up, who's, you know, has struggled a bit as well. Mayer, obviously, is still a lot of guys that I still think are better than him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like I said, and like I said, this has mostly been in AAA, so take it for what it's worth. But just improving that, I think that the K rate in general, getting that back down in the low 20s, where he kind of was earlier on in his career, especially over in Cincinnati when he was still in that org. So I'm starting to, you know, I'm not fully buy back in, but I don't know. I'm intrigued. I'll say that.
Yeah, certainly interested if he can bounce back. I mean, this was once a talent we thought was a top 20 prospect, at least I did. So power speed's there. If he can get back to hitting for decent average, like even if he's a 250 hitter, like that's certainly a valuable fantasy asset.
Yeah, if he can just get 240, 250, I think he can flirt with 20-20. Like that power speed has never really gone away. It's just really the approach and the contact skills. I don't think he's ever going to be more than 250, but yeah, 250, 2020 still has plenty of value. We'll see. I said, it's still, I echo those concerns. I don't know where he fits with the Red Sox long-term, but you know, right now, you know, Kike keeps having setbacks with his rehab. It was halted the other day. So who knows when he returns, and maybe this is the thing, he just keeps getting pushed back and back, and Downs gets some run here. We'll see. But yeah, definitely I'm intrigued at least. Maybe he's a good speculative buy just to see where this goes. Maybe it doesn't amount to anything, but you can probably get him for dirt cheap in dynasty leagues just to see where it goes, see if there's any legs to this moving forward. All right, a couple more names here before we get out of here. Two more hitters, and then we have a trio of pitchers. Edgar Quero from the Los Angeles Angels and Vaughn Grissom from Chris's Atlanta Braves. Edgar Quero doesn't get talked about enough when it comes to the, you know, top catching prospects in the game, I think. You know, obviously, he's with the Angels, who, again, they're another team like Milwaukee, whose track record I just don't trust. But as 19-year-old in low A, 318, 438, 565 over the last month, 9 doubles, 4 home runs, even his 5 steals. He's a pretty, you know, solid athletic catcher as well. Now, I don't think, you know, don't read too much into those 5 steals in low A, of course, but, you know, also a 12.4% walk rate, 17.1% K rate. I think he's a guy that is a really sneaky good dynasty buy right now, Chris, because, again, I don't think he gets as much love as he should. And I think he's maybe a top 200 guy right now.
There's a lot of underrated catchers, so yeah, I agree. He's one of them. Yennier Diaz is another one.
Yes.
We can keep going down a list, but that just, I think, goes to show you, like, you don't need to buy the top tier catching prospects because there's guys like this that, you know, come about and perform. And Quero's interesting. He's a switch hitter, which you like to see. And the numbers have certainly been there. You know, maybe he doesn't steal any bases long term, but who cares? Like, if you're hitting for good average and providing some pop, then, like, this is a position that's so scarce for fantasy. And with Quero, you know, he's done a lot of good this year, obviously in low A, but just 19, turned 19 in the very beginning of the season. Still a ways off, but, you know, certainly track this name. I think that he's got to be moving up boards, especially looking at the improvements that he's made with the contact skills this year and cutting the K rate. Like, all those are pretty significant strides. And this is definitely a player that could continue to improve at the plate. And there's a lot of value to be had here with a catcher like this, where, like I said, the position's so scarce. So go pick him up. I think that he deserves to be rostered in more dynasty leagues than he is. Let's see.
Yeah.
Quero. I'm just going to see how many percent he's rostered on Fantrax. Probably 2-3%, if I had to guess.
Yeah, 5 at most.
Yeah, that's probably fair. If Fantrax will load, Edgar Quero, 1%. So, yeah.
Sounds about right. Yeah, and a lot of other, there's a couple other names that are that undervalued catcher. You know, Drew Romo, Logan O'Hoppe. There's another one that's had in my mind here. I forgot. But yeah, there's definitely several. Like, you don't have to pay up for like the elite tier. And yeah, those guys are really fun, of course. Shaylen Galeers, I think, is underrated as well offensively. So there's a lot of good underrated catchers. You don't have to pay up to get, you know, the elite, the Alvarezes and the Morenos and Austin Wells, those types of the world, Henry Davis, all great prospects, of course, but a lot of fun, sneaky, good, you know, dynasty catchers out there that you can get for very, like you said, 1% rostered in Fantrax League. So yeah, go out and get Ed Cuero, go out and get, you know, Drew Romo, all these guys, Logan O'Hoppe, a lot of good fun names there that you can get for very solid values in dynasty. And then Vaughn Grissom, we've gotten asked a lot of Vaughn Grissom questions. Oh, Bo Naylor. That's the other one I was trying to think of. There we go. Bo Naylor.
Yeah.
I just popped in my head. Sorry. Vaughn Grissom is the last name on the list here. You know, he's just a guy that he doesn't stand out in any one area, I don't think, but he's just really good. Across, it doesn't hurt you in any one area. Has some solid power, some decent speed as well. Contact skills and approach have always really been there. Walk rate's a little over 10% for his career. K rate is under 15%. You know, this year in 75 games, he's actually just got up to double A a couple of days ago. Overall, 317, 407, 488, 11 home runs, 21 steals, 32 walks to 41 Ks in those 75 games. So maybe, again, he's not a guy that wows you in any one area, but I think there's like a poor man's Tim Anderson here in that profile.
Grissom's a really good ball player. I've seen him several times this year. Rome's been in Greenville. He's now in double A, so it'd certainly be fun to track his progress. But yeah, he's just, you just watch him play and he just stands out really above everybody else on the field. I know that Rome team isn't great, but Grissom definitely is a standout. He's a big boy too. I mean, he's listed at 6'3", 210, and he's every bit of it, if not, you know, bigger, and he still runs extremely well despite that size. And, you know, the power really come along this year, which is big, hitting the ball on the ground a lot less. That was pretty significant. More fly balls and, you know, increased strength led to more home runs, 11 so far this year. I think he's average game power when all said and done, and he's going to provide some speed, which is, you know, another big thing. And the hit tool is better than advertised, in my opinion. He's consistently hit at every level, and he's just kept doing it. The strikeouts, I mean, he literally struck out 11.6% of the time in high A. Like, that's ridiculous. I mean, nearly a 1-to-1 walk to strikeout rate. This is he's a great ball player. The bat to ball skills are really good here. He's got an incredibly high floor. And you know, even if he moves off short, I don't really care because I think that the bat's going to play. So I think he's highly underrated. I think he's, you know, I've pushed him to 70 overall in my prospect rankings. And I'm curious, how high can he get?
Yeah, I think I have him in that similar range. I think he can get even higher. I think there's a future where he's top 50 by the end of the year. Maybe not much higher than that, but definitely with what he's done with contact skills, the approach, nice power speed blend. Like I said, it doesn't wow you, but does everything well across the board. Like you said, he's a ball player. Like he's like, get up to Atlanta. Where he fits long term, I don't know. Obviously, they got Albies at second and Swanson at short, at least for the next few years. Neither one of them are free agent anytime soon, are they?
No.
Not yet. At least the next couple of years. So who knows if that all pans out. No, he's still a couple of years away. So, or at least maybe mid to late next year he's up. But they still got time to figure that out. But, yeah, definitely just a very underrated dynasty buy right now for sure. All right. Three names on our list here that round out the show. You know, all three pretty, you know, bigger names here that are performing well over the last month. DL Hall, Bobby Miller, and Taj Bradley. Let's start with DL Hall because on talent, upside, stuff, all that, if you just look at that, I think DL Hall is top five. Like he is nasty. You know, Baltimore is, you know, a very good player development org right now. He's got the pedigree, can miss bats at an elite clip. Like you look at this year in 61 and two-thirds innings, he has 101 strikeouts. But he also has 36 walks. And I was, you know, commenting on a thread earlier about him where, you know, this year, like, I don't know. I want to just bump him way up my rankings just because of that stuff, the elite, you know, strikeout potential he has. But the walk rate just never gets better. Like we keep hoping that it gets better, but look at, you know, back in rookie ball, which is a small sample size, so it was 20.4%. Low A 2018, 10.7%. High A 2019, 15.6%. Double A 2021, 12.5%. And then in just triple A, I didn't take his rehab starts. In just triple A this year, 14.6%. I don't know. I'm starting like that reliever risk percentage for me just continues creeping up. I still think it's like 65-35 starter, but maybe there's a route where he, you know, they go Josh Hader with him and make him into it's a dominant reliever, which he'd still have plenty of some solid value there too. But I don't know. I'm still a bit cautious when it comes to Hall.
Yeah, I mean, there's good reason to be. I think the Orioles give him a chance as a starter.
Yeah, sure.
At least see where it goes. I mean, hard to deny what he's been doing. As you mentioned, the results are good outside of the walk rate, and that's obviously ballooned his whip and probably his ERA to an extent. But, I mean, shoot, 18% swinging strike rate, it's ridiculous. The amount of Ks, right? The amount of Ks and those amount of innings is just insane.
I know. So, it draws you in, right?
Yeah. He's been absolutely stellar from that standpoint. The stuff is arguably – the stuff could be the best – of any minor league pitcher. I really think that, but I just think the control is just not quite there. So that'll be a big sticking point for him. He's got to be able to do that. And we're talking about a pitcher who's never pitched more than 100 innings in his professional career. Like, that's something we'll see if he can do. Like, can he finish out the year and push 100 innings? You know, the command needs work. There's definitely some work to be done despite the stuff being good and the upside being really good as well.
Yeah, like I said, I want to put him top 50, but that walk rate, and I value that more and more every year. Like, we've seen very talented arms that just don't reach their potential or even fizzle out because they can't limit the free passes and locate their stuff where they want to. And that's been an issue with Matt Brash. Matt Brash is nasty, but he's had some command and control issues as well. So I don't know. I'm hoping he can. Because he's a very fun pitcher to watch. You watch him in his starts. He's very fun. Like, the ball moves. The fastball gets on hitters. The stuff is sharp. It breaks. But, man, that walk rate just needs to come down. In fact, it's gone up this year by about 2%. It's just not encouraging at all. But Taj Bradley is one that, you know, I think everyone knows that Taj Bradley is good or very good. But I just don't think he gets enough love. Like, look at what he's done this year. As a 21-year-old, he has a 170 ERA and 0.91 whip in 74 and a third innings, 88 strikeouts to 18 walks. He doesn't get, whenever you talk about top five pitching prospects in baseball, he doesn't get talked about. I think he should. Like, there's a, you know, number two starter upside here. Tampa Bay, obviously, has been one of the best pitching development orgs in baseball. That makes you feel good. He's only still only 21. He's always had a pretty high swing and strike rate. The swing and miss stuff is there. He's above average command and control as well, which is very encouraging. You know, I think he needs to be in that top five pitching prospect discussion, and I think I might have actually put him there. I'm trying to pull it up. So overall right now, I just bumped him up to 35 overall. Only ones ahead of him right now are Max Meyer, Yuri Perez, pulling up here, Espino, Boz, and Girard. I think the Boz, he might have just graduated. But Boz will graduate before my next update, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, that puts him fifth right now, ahead of, like, he's just ahead of Kyle Harrison, Gavin Williamson, guys like that. So, yeah, I think he's top five, and I think he's undervalued that you can still get for a price tag that's not quite that high.
Yeah, I don't really know what the hesitation is on him at this point. I mean, he's just been so good throughout his career. You know, it feels like a Joe Ryan type where he's just in this system and just never gets any love. But Joe Ryan did this exactly. And was just consistently good. Difference is Bradley's actually got a really good fastball. And I think his secondaries are a little better than advertised. I think the slider's really good as well. He's just doesn't get any love. I don't really know why. But you're right. And, you know, got to shout out Matt Heckman, who writes for us on the site. But he tweeted out yesterday, he said, full updated list should be out next week, but new top 10 dynasty prospects yet to debut. And he has Taj Bradley at number 5, which is
wow
overall. So that's pretty good.
Wait, for pitching or just
overall? Yeah. So prospects, he has prospects yet to debut. His top 10 are Carroll, G-Rod, Max Meyer, Hassel, Bradley, Volpe, Noelvi Marte, Espino, Tovar, and Walker. So, and Taj is, he's got him up there. So shout out to him. Wow. Follow him. Heckman_Matt115. Writes for us at Fantrax too, so check him out. But yeah, that's a lot of love for Bradley. And
yeah,
that's higher than I go on pitching prospects just in general. Like, I have G-Rod top 10 maybe, but I rarely put pitchers top 10 just from just my way of ranking. But I mean, third overall pitcher, so that's pretty high praise. So
it is for sure.
Yeah, he's a stud. You can't argue with the results though. You can't prick hardly any holes in what he's done. And I think his arsenal is just really underappreciated, and he just produces. So it feels like a Joe Ryan case, but like I said, with a fastball that's not 90 miles an hour. While there's good aspects of Ryan's fastball, but yeah, you get what I'm saying. So
right.
Yeah, Bradley's really good. He's just turned 21, and he's been dominant. So I'm all on board the Taj Bradley train.
Yeah, and this isn't just happening this year. Look at last year. In 103 1/3 in between low A and high A, 183 ERA, 0.93 WHIP, and pretty similar strikeout and walk rates. So, yeah, this has been going on for well over a year now, year and a half now, season and a half. The combined 100 and about 77 2/3 innings over the last 2 years of a sub 2 ERA, sub 1 WHIP, and K rate over 30%. Yeah, he is a stud, and yet I second that. Go follow Matt Heckman. At Heckman_Matt115, as Chris said, a very knowledgeable guy that deserves a lot more followers than he has right now. Great writer, great analyst. So go check him out. But that's going to wrap us up. Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at EricRoss04, Chris at RotoClegg, and our shows at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ, Fantasy Pros, or over on our Patreon, of course. And join us again next time for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, everyone take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.